Thank you, Pastor. Praise God. Awesome. Yeah, that is an amazing report. I think at one point we got a bid and it was so outrageous. We were like, well, what can we do? Maybe we can do 2 windows a year for the next. But man, it was a good deal. And so, and I know not everybody understands this, but the R value of single pane glass is like almost nothing. That's resistant to cold or heat. That's what that's talking about. It's like thermal insulation, right? Mm-hmm. That these windows are likely original 1929 single pane and got the glazing on the outside, which falls apart, chips, it looks terrible. Can't hardly move anything out of there because it's got all the bad stuff in it. And man, what a great thing to and a relief. And it's going to actually save the church quite a bit of money on heating and on cooling. So it's amazing. Praise God for that. Amen. Let me get to why I'm here this morning. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, 4. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, right now, we come to you, Lord. We're asking you to have your way in us, Lord Jesus. Bless us today, Lord God. Jesus, there are needs in this house, God, today. There are folks, Lord, here, Jesus, that love you, that want to serve you, Lord God, that want to live for you, Lord Jesus, that don't want to stay, Lord God, locked behind anything, Lord Jesus, but want to grow in you, Lord Jesus, and in your power, God. Lord, I ask you to help somebody today. Help me, Lord God, first of all, Lord Jesus, and help every person here, God, that reads and hears your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to talk about breakthrough today. And I actually preached this message a couple weeks ago for Brother Nate Greeley. He was sick, and so I got an opportunity to go up to Bristol and preach this message. And it's something that's really been on my radar and very intense focus on this through the past several months. And I just, there's this, God has just been putting this concept in me and helping me. And it's very powerful what we have. And I want to, you know, we talk about breakthrough and we talk about the moment of breakthrough. And it is an amazing thing to feel that breakthrough. But long before we ever get to a breakthrough, we have to somehow, and there's different ways people try to do this, we have to somehow realize where we are, that we're in a stronghold. Amen. And so this is the message today, is that God has given us the power. God has given us everything we need to never stay locked behind any stronghold. And I want to ask you a question this morning and something to think about. But what if the stronghold that you keep asking God to tear down is one that you've been unknowingly or even knowingly reinforcing? And we're trying to break free from strongholds. We're trying to live free and walk in freedom. But what if we're building the stronghold ourselves and in our own lives? And not because we want it there, and not because we're rebelling against God. Of course, there are those who do build up strongholds and barriers against God. But that's not any one of us. We're here today. We're in the church. But maybe it's because you're used to it. Maybe it's because it seems like it's always been there. Maybe it's because you have given up hope that you'll ever be able to break free from these strongholds. Maybe it's because you don't even realize that you're in a stronghold and that it's holding you back from the plan of God in your life. Maybe it's because it seems familiar. Seems like it's always been there. And so many times we don't confront strongholds in our lives because we don't want the heat. We ignore them and we don't want the contention and we don't want the battle. And so we try to, you know, close our eyes and hope that they'll just fade away with time. And this is just a phase. And we pray that they'll disappear all by themselves. And we assume that God will miraculously remove what He has already given us the power to address. And without even realizing it, we keep reinforcing the very thing that we want out of our lives. And we do it with the thoughts that we have. And we have already made up our mind and we just know that we can't get past this. And that's a lie. and maybe we reinforce them with the conclusions that we protect. You ever been in an argument with somebody? I've been in an argument with somebody that has just made up their mind. And they're not going to change their mind for anything. I've been that person, actually. Full transparency. I've been the person that made up my mind that what I believed was right and that I wasn't going to change. And then the whole time I was wrong. And I know that you've met people like that. And if you haven't, hello, my name is Darren. Amen. And that it could be a real issue if you've already concluded in your mind that you're never going to get out of the ways that you live. If you're just convinced wholeheartedly that, oh, this is just who I am. And that's a lie. Because God can break us through and break us out of those problems. Or maybe you've been convinced through the lies of the devil that you just live this way and it's okay. I've become comfortable with the stronghold that I live in. I've set up some furniture and I've got a couch and, you know, it's kind of nice in here and it's okay and it's not a sin. Well, what does God's word say? Amen. But God's not asking us to pretend that the wall is not there. He's inviting us today to take hold of His strength. Amen. And His strength comes from what the Word of God says, and it comes from His Spirit. That's how we get free from strongholds. Truth and the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And Isaiah 27, I love this verse. This is, I think, first time I heard this verse maybe explained. I think Brother Fred explained it, but maybe it was someone else. Amen. But it's good to have the Zimmermans back. Praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Isaiah 27, verse 4, amen, says, "Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." I love these sort of contrasting scriptures in the Word. Amen. "Behold, the goodness and severity of God" is one of those contrasting scriptures. But these two verses could just not be more on a different side of each spectrum. "Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars?" You could hear the contention Amen. Who would set briars against me in battle? Who would set thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. He's talking about the thorns, the briars, and the person that's trying to set up against him. And then it says, just God's tone just completely changes. And he gives an option, or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. And what I got out of this verse is that what I call, or what I think is a stronghold, God calls it briars and thorns. And they feel unmovable to me. But to the Lord, they're no match. Those walls could be titanium, and God could go through them. They're the overgrowth and the lies that we got used to. But they can be cleared. Amen. And they can be burned away by the light of truth. And God says, let him take hold of my strength. Breakthrough will not come if we avoid or manage or just live with the strongholds in our lives. It will only come when we take hold of truth, walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and then we will have peace. And we convince ourselves we're just going to leave it alone because we're used to it, because it's always been there. And we think that peace will come when we completely ignore it. That's a false lie from Satan. Amen. Your stronghold, any stronghold in your life would be hindering you from walking in the Spirit, from doing what God wants you to do. And I'm here today to tell you that by the power of the Word of God, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. Amen. And peace will come when we align ourselves with the truth of God's Word and in the power of His Spirit. Notice how God frames this problem. He doesn't call them strongholds. He doesn't call them prison walls. He doesn't call them fortresses. He calls them nothing more than briars and thorns. Well, what does that mean? It means that the thoughts that you've wrestled with for years, the patterns in your life that seem immovable, the strongholds that intimidate you to the Lord Jesus, they are nothing but a nuisance. Amen. They're irritating. They may sting a bit, but they are just the overgrown weeds of lies that you've believed for years. But what saith the Lord? Amen. What does God's Word say? Amen. Because that is truth. Amen. They were never meant to remain in the life of a child of God. Get this picture. Amen. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, they were in this lust garden with zero thorns, no briars, no brambles, nothing to curse the ground. Amen. Nothing to hurt them. But because of sin, because of the fall, amen, God cursed the ground for their sakes, and it brought forth briars and thorns. But listen, these are the very... what did Jesus wear on his head when he went to the cross? Yeah, it was a crown of thorns. Amen. What hurt them? What was against them? What caused them pain and sorrow? What caused them irritation? Amen. He wore it like a crown. Amen. And he defeated death, hell, and the grave. He conquered sin on the cross. Amen. It was his victory, amen, where it was our trouble. It was his conquest where it was against us, amen. It was his, he dealt with it, amen, and gave us the power to deal with it, amen, through his victory that he got on the cross, amen. And God says, who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? In other words, who would think any of these things could stand before him? Amen. What we call strongholds, God calls chaff. What we think is permanent, God will break through it. Amen. He says, I would go through them. And God's word leaves no room for negotiation. Amen. God's plan, listen, child of God, God's plan for you and who you will become in Him does not include the stronghold. He's not intimidated by it. He's not even stalled by it. It doesn't slow Him down whatsoever. And if you will take hold of His strength, you'll go with Him through the strongholds. You will break through every stronghold that the enemy would set up against your life. Amen. God's awesome power is on full display towards things that oppose Him. Amen. God resists the proud. Brother Bernard preached about that at a general conference. He said, this is the one thing, pride, that one thing God resists. He's against it. Amen. He hates pride. Pride was what led to the fall of Satan. Pride was what led to the fall of Adam and Eve. Pride, arrogance, thinking that your way is better than God's way. Thinking that you don't need the voice of God in your life. You don't need to be in the church house. You don't need to come to prayer. I don't need all of that. I'm good. Amen. That's pride that leads you to be locked in the strongholds. Amen. But let God come through them. Amen. Take hold of His strength. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Amen. And He will lift you up. Praise the Lord. Amen. Here's the truth. Our strongholds are not a threat to God. They are obstacles to our peace and our growth. Amen. Peace doesn't come through managing the strongholds or managing the thorns. Well, I'll just work a little bit here and I'll just work a little bit there. No. It comes from agreeing with God and letting Him deal with the strongholds in your life. And as I preach today, I know for a fact that in the life of some of us here today, just by the few people that are here today, amen, I know that some of us are locked behind those strongholds. Amen. But I want you to understand this from the start. The walls that feel unmovable to you are nothing more than thorns and briars to the Lord. And if you will take hold of His strength, He will do what He has always done. He will go through them. Amen. He is the breakthrough that you're looking for. His Word is the breakthrough that you're looking for. Amen. Hallelujah. Feelings, amen, are not often true. How you feel is not often the fact. Amen. Just think about that. Because breakthrough starts in our minds. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In this verse, many times flesh has the problem with feelings, right? Amen. How things make you feel. It's probably the reason that we sin. It's because it makes us feel a certain way. It leads us down that certain path. Amen. And it's something that we have to deal with. Because that little thrill that you get when you're tempted by sin is often based on a lie. It's not going to give you what it promises to give you. It's not going to do for you what you're being deceived by your feelings is what's happening. I'm just telling the truth today. Pastors used this example before. For example, smoking doesn't make you a cowboy. Well, but I feel like a cowboy. I feel like the Marlboro Man. I feel like a camel. Well, you might stink, amen, putting it politely. You might stink like a camel. Hallelujah. You might stink like a cowboy that's been out in the wilderness for a while. Praise the Lord. But you're not a cowboy. Amen. Drinking doesn't give you a flashy car and a slender woman. Amen. None of that's true. Oh, but it makes me feel like I'm, whatever. It's false. It's a lie. Think about that. Amen. The allure of sin plays to your feelings. And that's why Paul is telling us, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. If you try to fight your feelings with more feelings, it's just going to make it worse. But look, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not flesh. They're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to focus on that word thought for a little bit. Thought. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This word thought in Greek is noema. N-O-E-M-A is the pronunciation. Noema. I don't know how to say it correctly. Or noema. It doesn't matter. Amen. But this word, it's really along the lines of the imaginations or the feelings. It says it's a perception. It's implying the intellect. Right? That makes sense. Or just disposition, how you sit or how you feel on something. Amen. But it's also translated, here it's translated thought, but it's also translated device. It's also translated mind. This word appears 6 times in the New Testament in Greek. And it's here translated one time. It's translated as thoughts. But 4 times, the word is translated minds. As in 2 Corinthians 3:14, but their minds were blinded. Or the God of this world in another place has blinded their minds. Okay? So this word thought here is translated minds. 4 places. But the last place it's translated is devices. And it deals with a huge problem in the church. And that is unforgiveness. People in the church, sometimes they'll have problems forgiving. I shouldn't say sometimes. People just have problems forgiving one another. That's why it's a major focus of what Jesus preached on the Mount of Olives. It's a major focus in the prayer class that the Lord gave. Forgiveness. Bitterness and unforgiveness is such a huge issue. Amen. And it's an issue that, I will just say it like this, is a stronghold. Bar none. For unforgiveness, bitterness, it's a stronghold. If you have unforgiveness in your life, if there's something that is holding you back from forgiving and reaping the benefit of being forgiven by the Lord, because Jesus is clear on this, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. If you're in that position, you're in a stronghold, my friend. And I say that as lovingly as possible. Because if you were living a bitter life, you couldn't even forgive me for saying that truth to you. Amen. That's, man, God, help us with unforgiveness. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. Just default. Paul's default position is, if you forgave him, I forgive him too. Forgive. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Said, because I'm in Jesus, I forgive. Even as Christ has forgiven you. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, as the scripture says. Amen. And look, lest Satan, verse 11, please. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The word devices is noema. Thoughts. Mind. And I thought this was so... When I was studying this, I was like, wow. Five out of the six verses that I've mentioned have a direct link to the enemy of our soul, Satan. Isn't that interesting? Five out of the six verses. And that's why it's important that we think thoughts. Could this be the device of Satan against me? Could this be the attack of Satan against my life and against my family and against the church? Against my growth and against my relationship with God? Be careful what you feel is true. Because it could be a stronghold. But strongholds are nothing more than imaginations. Yeah, they're fortified. Imaginations, feelings, thoughts, all work hand in hand to keep you locked behind those prison walls. Fortified ways of thinking that they oppose the knowledge of God. They're arguments against God and against what God's plan is and against what God wants to do. In fact, in other translations, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5, it doesn't call them imaginations, it calls them arguments. It's used. Arguments against God. Ever hear yourself rehearsing, well, God's not going to do that for me. Well, God can't bless this. And God, well, God, I don't know if I want to do that, or I don't know if I can do that. Arguments, thoughts, feelings. And I thought there was these two quotes that I thought about here, and neither one of them, I tried to track down who said them first, and neither one of them came back with a real source. So, unknown source. But I thought about this, is that the first one is that an opinion stated as fact is an invitation for an argument. Opinions stated as fact are an invitation for an argument. You see this on the internet sometimes. People will respond, well, an opinion stated as fact is an invitation for an argument. Amen. But you know what? Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Right? That you've heard that. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But is their opinion aligned with God's Word? Is it true? Think about that. And you might not want to fight somebody for their opinion. Amen. But you will want to fight Satan for his opinion. Because that's all Satan really has. Because he never speaks the truth. Every time Satan opens his mouth, there's a lie coming out of it. And so guess what? That's just your opinion, Satan. That's just your version of the truth. It's not the truth. Amen. He never speaks with the authority of God's Word because he never speaks the truth. Amen. All he has is an opinion. So he can keep his opinion. I'm going to keep the Word of God alive and active in my life. and let my steps be ordered of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let God order my steps. That's the truth. Amen. That's what I want to live in and walk in. Amen. The second quote, and this one kind of traced back to either C.S. Lewis or Leonard Ravenhill, but it was a man with an experience of God is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Now, I've seen that in my life. I've seen that happen. And, you know, people have, well, they have their opinions. They have their arguments. They have what they, well, it just logically makes sense, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No. I've lived it. And I know how that ends. I have an experience. And I'm not going to walk down that road. I'm not going to go that way. Or maybe I am going to do this or I am going to do that because I have an experience with God. I know that this will work. I know that this is true. I know that I'm not going to be locked behind strongholds because it's not God's plan for my life. Was Jesus ever locked behind a stronghold? No. 3 days in the tomb was just about as much as the devil could throw at him. Amen. Guess what? He threw that stone away. Amen. He rolled that stone away. Hallelujah. And if death couldn't defeat him, it couldn't hold him down. Amen. I'm being made in the image of God. I'm being formed in His likeness. Amen. And I'm not going to live in a stronghold. No. Praise the Lord. But I kind of changed this quote a little bit because I thought this was so awesome, but I thought a man with an experience of God is never at the mercy of a devil with an argument. Amen. Yeah. Where do those thoughts come from? Are they devices of the enemy? Are they ways that try to keep us down? Well, we're not at the mercy of any stronghold. We're not at the mercy of the crowd. We're not at the mercy of lies or at the mercy of any devil. We're not at the mercy of Satan. We are at the mercy of God. Amen. Look, it's not the enemy that saved you. Jesus did. And if you let the devil, he'll try to shape how you think. He'll try to shape your imaginations and your feelings. Amen. Because if he controls the conversation, he can influence the direction of your life. Amen. But I'm so thankful for this guidance that the Scripture gives us on this word, noema. Because the last place in Scripture that the word noema appears is where we take hold of His strength and we have peace through Him. Amen. Philippians 4:7 says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not locked behind a stronghold. We're being held in the mighty hand of God. Amen. And I'm so thankful that He's giving us that peace. That word shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Don't let the devil dictate your thoughts. Don't let the flesh dictate your thoughts. Don't let the world dictate your thoughts. Amen. Let your thoughts be led and guided by the Spirit of God and His Word. Amen. Think on these things, it says. Think on these things. Don't let your minds be deceived. Amen. Let your minds be guided by truth. Amen. Breakthrough starts with truth. Amen. And that's the first thing we must think about before anything else. Amen. In fact, why don't we take a moment right here and let's just thank God. Let's ask God to guide our hearts and our minds. Let's let God guide our reality. Amen. Let it be guided by your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, your word holds the worlds in balance, Lord God. Let it hold my life in balance, Jesus. God, I ask you to reveal to me, Lord Jesus, any thought, Lord God, any stronghold that is not of you, Lord. Anything, Lord Jesus, that would be against you, Lord God. God, make it plain and clear in my life, Lord Jesus, so that I can stop believing those things. And God, believe your word. Your word is truth, Lord God. Your word is real, Lord Jesus. Your word is what I want to walk in, God. Your word is my life and my strength, Lord Jesus. It's what you provide, amen, for me every day, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't you thank God right now for opening your eyes and revealing Himself to you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I give you glory, Lord. Honor and praise, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. There are different ways that strongholds, and I'm just going to skim through this here, but there are different ways that strongholds will be developed in your life. And we've got to recognize them. We've got to know what they are. We got to see what strongholds look like and what they sound like. I've already been kind of telling you, but when you hear something, a thought comes through your mind, I'm going to always struggle with this. Yeah, I can't break free. This is just who I am. I'll never change. Those are lies from Satan. Lies from the enemy. And we cannot believe them. Because Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we got to have God open our understanding to those things that we think all the time. I mean, I've done it. Fail again, or, you know, cause a problem again, or this or that or the other. And Satan's right there. See, that's who you are. See, you can't stop yourself. Those are lies. I've got the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. I have a hold of the hand of God. What Jesus says is true. Amen. And only truth brings freedom. Praise God. And I'm so thankful because every person deals with stuff like this. I'm so thankful that God has opened up my understanding and said, walk in truth and you'll be free. Yeah, we've heard that over and over and over again. But have we lived it? Have we believed it? Amen? Or have we let the things that we deal with and contend with dictate our life? Amen. My life is dictated by truth. I want to walk in truth. If I falter, if I fail, the Lord is there to lift me up. He's there if I will believe His word. Amen. He will bring my life forward. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to close today by talking about how you've got to get your mind prepared for a breakthrough. Prepare your mind. Because if you walk in God's word, if you believe the truth, breakthrough is coming. break. It might not be here right now. Not every service will you get a breakthrough. Amen. But it's coming. Breakthrough is coming in your life, in your family. It's coming in your situations. Breakthrough is coming. Believe God's word. Amen. When we talk about breakthrough, we always talk about this single moment. And we see, oh, that person got a breakthrough. This person got a breakthrough. But we talk about, or maybe you'll say, well, I don't know if you've ever heard this, especially from the older generations, most of which have gone on to the Lord. They would say to me, I pray through at the altar, and they would say, you really got a breakthrough today. Amen. Sounds like you got a breakthrough today. And they hear that shout. They hear that prayer. They hear that there's that one altar call. And we focus so intently on that breakthrough. And we're chasing that breakthrough. Well, how about preparing your heart and your mind for a breakthrough? Most breakthroughs don't start with just a moment. They start with momentum. Brother Owens Jr., though, is he the fifth? Amen. Brother Owens preached that at our youth service. Not just a moment, but with momentum. Amen. Breakthroughs start when you open God's Word and you read it, and it starts to speak to you. It starts to dictate your thoughts. Breakthrough starts through prayer. Amen. Prayer is a key to breakthrough. And it can't just be one prayer and then I forget about it. It's got to be continually living in prayer. Amen. Make your way to the house of God. Be here for prayer. Be here early. Amen. Let God's Spirit guide you. Amen. It starts with hearing the Word of God preached. It starts with this message today. Let your mind start to be prepared for that breakthrough. Not just hearing it, but actually receiving it. Living it. Believing it. Amen. Not just listening, but your free will obedience to the Word of God. And breakthrough is often the result, not the process. It's the result of preparation. Amen. Think about a building that needs to be demolished. They were demolishing some buildings at Pfizer. They had taken, there's this building out there that they were taking down, and they made it into a field. But I just remember eating my lunch one day. There's a bunch of people sitting there watching the building right next. Pfizer's got these big, tall, the entire wall is glass. They got this wrecking ball out there, and they're moving it back, and nothing's happening. It's just hitting the wall. And I was like, man, it was only like from here to the door away from the glass. Of course, when the wall came down, the building finally fell on that one side, a piece of concrete flew across the street and hit that glass, and it just splintered and shattered all the way through. It was almost like, and I remember walking by it and saying, we probably shouldn't be by this glass. I think it's a little too close. It's in the demolition zone at least. But of course they had to replace the glass. But I don't know if Brother Fred, I don't know if you remember this, but when we were there in school on the base in Groton, they were taking down a building, the old dental building. You remember that? No? They had a big wrecking ball out there. And I thought this was incredible. But somebody told me that they had tried to take that building down before. And I tried to check on Google Maps to see if it was still there. But they tried to take that building down before, and it didn't work. The building is like nuclear bomb-proof or something. And so they got another crew out there. They're sitting there trying to take that building down. They pull the ball back. They hit the building. Shatters every piece of glass in that building. Amen. And then they pulled the ball back again. They hit the building. And it didn't even make a dent in the bricks. And they're like, this isn't working. And they packed up. And I'm pretty sure that building's still there. They had to put all new glass on it. That's typical. Government likes to do, like, get into projects that they can't finish. Praise the Lord. At least not deliver on time. Praise the Lord. But I want you to picture those buildings that, yes, they're going to come down. At some point, that wrecking ball is going to break through. But if they're really doing a good job, they'll get engineers out there and they'll find the weak points of those buildings. And they make a plan. They got to look at the blueprints. They find the weak spots. They'll weaken the structure in different ways. And then if they're doing it like Las Vegas style, they just hit a button and the entire building comes down. They've demolished several of the old casinos in Las Vegas, and it's like one of the neatest things to see because they've done their work. They've got all these charges and demolition set and everything set up, and somebody hits a button and it just takes the whole building down. But if you're going to use a wrecking ball, one hit's not enough for a breakthrough. Nothing happens. So you might be tempted to just walk away. Maybe 10 hits and the building's still standing. The stronghold is still there. Well, say, I've read my Bible for 10 days in a row and I'm still dealing with this problem. Nothing's happening. Is that a lie? Yeah, it is. Don't listen to that. Because there is something happening. Even though 20 hits, there's no visible change. But then, every strike is doing something unseen. And suddenly a crack will appear. And then the next hit brings the breakthrough. Don't expect a breakthrough if you're not willing to believe God's word. If you're not willing to walk in the Spirit. If you're not willing to be faithful to the house of God. If you're not willing to listen to the preaching, if you're not willing to walk in the discipline that God has already given us and the power that God has already given, I'm not going to pray. Don't expect a breakthrough then. But I wonder if there's somebody here today that's willing to say, God, whatever it takes, Lord, and if you'll align your life with the truth, and if you'll keep declaring it, even when you don't feel like it, there will come a moment when the light will break through. And everything that God has been working in you quietly will cause you to praise Him publicly. Amen. God is doing something in your life. Amen. The book of Philippians says that He that has begun a good work in you will complete it. He will finish it. You will be a finished product. You will look like Jesus. Amen. Will you stand to your feet with me today? And would you cry out to God? God, bring me, Lord, to the place where you will break through, Lord. Every problem, every sorrow, God. Everything that I've dealt with, Lord Jesus. Oh God, it doesn't matter how long they've been there, Jesus. Lord, in a moment, Lord God, you can break through, Lord Jesus. But Lord God, as I live, Jesus, as I walk with you, God, Lord, bring to pass in my life, Lord Jesus, what your word has promised, oh God. Bring to pass in my life, Lord Jesus, what you want to do, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. There's just a few of us here today. Praise the Lord. Why don't we gather up here in the front? Amen. And let's let the Lord begin to work on our lives and pray for one another. Pray for one another. God, hallelujah. Let your glory be revealed in my friend, Lord Jesus. Let your glory be revealed in my brother and my sister, Lord God. Lord Jesus,